I just feel God keeps saying he wants to anoint evangelists this morning, to anoint, because we're in the end days and the harvest is in. And I know some of you have already been anointed, but he wants to give you double portion. So if you've got a heart for the lost, if you've got a heart to win souls, please stand, because God said, I want to anoint you. Everybody actually should have a heart for souls. Because we want every one of you. I know there's some that accord with the evangelical calling mantle, but God wants you all to be anointed, because God wants to put people around you that you're going to speak into their lives. And you're going to lead them to Jesus. This week I've had so many people that I've been able to speak into their lives, because they just come up to you, or they're just there. And God is bringing people around you. And it's like, don't miss the opportunity. It's not time to be shy. If you know what hell was like, you would want to win everybody into the kingdom of God. So it's like God saying, I want to give you the heartbeat of heaven for souls this morning. I want you to receive it, that you will be led, and people will say, what is it that you've got? And you'll say, I've got Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I just pray right now, Father God, as you look down on our hearts, minds and souls, Father, I pray that you anoint a fresh touch on people's lives, Lord, to win them, win people for Jesus. Lord, I pray that you mantle afresh. Father, I pray that you give the heartbeat of heaven right now to people, that, Lord, they will come, and it will come to people right here. And Lord, many will come into the kingdom. Father, we pray from this day forth, let it be that we don't say we haven't led anybody to the Lord for a long time, but let it be that we run to church and say, I want to get up and share, because I won people into the kingdom of God, that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Church, it's so serious. And Lord, I pray that you just fall upon each person now and mantle them. Lord, let them feel the weightiness. There's angels around just anointing you afresh. If your heart is towards God, if you're saying, Lord, I want to win souls, I want to touch people for the kingdom, just put your hand in the air and say, Lord, that is me. That is me, that is me, that is me. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to share my Jesus with everybody I meet. I'm not going to be intimidated anymore. God said, I'm giving you a boldness right now in the Spirit. I'm giving you a new boldness. And God's going to give you opportunities to preach or to share the love of Jesus, to show love to people around you. See, people are hungry for food. There's people starving, but there's people that are wanting Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you now, Lord, as you just cover these ones with a mantle of evangelism, that, Lord, they will bring the lost in. This church is harvest for a reason. And we pray, Father, for the harvest of souls. You imagine if every one of you led someone to the Lord this week and you brought them to church, we would double. And if you did that the following week after that, we'd need a new building. And that would be awesome. So God, just come. I really, really want you to have the heartbeat of heaven, the heartbeat of Jesus for the souls. Please be seated. You know, I love that parable of Jesus, you know, and he said there's 99 here, where is that 100th one? And he went down into the valley and he picked up that little lamb and he brought the lamb to his heart. And God's saying, Yeah.
You know, I'm like most Christians. I fail in my outreach and evangelism. But I did the maths on it. And what you said, if we all bought one person, the place would double. If one person discipled one other person for a year, and then those two did it the next year, four, eight, 16, 32, how many years would it take to save the whole world? 32 years if we all did one person each year. 32 years and everybody would be saved.
32 years I won't be here, but but it's so true. You know, when I was first saved, I mean, I was only 12, and I was an event. I was going around and I had my four spiritual laws. Now I just let the Holy Spirit come and people just come to me. But you know, and I remember I about six girls in one day became to Jesus, and we were all these followers and at high school, and it was amazing, and our what do you call it when you at the school thing, you had a Christian group, I can't remember what it was called, but ours got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it was so, and everybody's saying, what happens in that room? And we said, we talk about Jesus, and there really was like a revival starting to happen. And I just want that back again. You know, we see that. You know, but I go into shops and everybody says, what's your aura? That happened to me, didn't it? Just the other, what's your aura? And I said, that's Jesus. And then I had to go to the dentist and I went to the shop and she said, you've got an aura. And I'm going... I just pick you out. They just pick me out. What's your aura? And I'm okay. No, it's not an aura. It's actually the glory of God. But I said, that's so encouraging because it's Jesus. You know, it's just amazing what God is doing. But we've got to, you know, I get filled up before I go. I get, you know, I just wait on God and say, I want to be filled with you, that wherever I go, I'll be touched. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, I was listening to a preacher, and he said, what you sow will reap. And I know this, but this is what I'm going to preach on today. And, you know, I really thought about it, and it kept hitting me. What you sow, you will reap. And I love that principle, but, man, it's really thought-provoking. And he was saying, if you harvest corn, you won't get wheat, you'll get corn. So whatever you sow, you reap. And I just want to read this. These are two Scottish guys. Just a little paragraph here. A story told of two Scotchmen who immigrated to California. They wanted to have in their new home some reminder of their homeland. I would too, from Scotland. One took with him a thistle, a national emblem. The other took a swarm of honeybees. Years pass by. Fields for a long distance are cursed with the thistle, which the farmer cannot get rid of. But the forest and the fields are laden with the sweetness of honey. Little did those two men think of what would grow out of their selection, either for good or for evil. Isn't that so true? So whatever you sow, you know, is an act for your future, really. And so in Galatians 6, see, if you sow seeds of evil, you're not going to reap good. In Galatians 6:17, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, the will of the Spirit, reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So if we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. And that is, it's just what I've been thinking on and really thinking, you know, everything we say, everything we do. I was listening to Joyce Myers and she said that she didn't have many friends and she was quite sharp with her tongue. And God said, if you want friends, you've got to sow love. And what you sow, then people think, this woman really loves me, I can trust her. And you receive love back. And love, and she said it was just amazing how the whole thing shifted. And it's like we've got to say, what do we sow? And because what we reap is either joy, fulfillment, eternal life. Or if we say, you know, I even in James, it says, you know, there's cursing and blessing in our tongue. And I always look, I don't know, I'm always seeing that book in heaven, the book of life. And I don't know whether you're starting to see it, but I want my book full of the good things that I do on this earth. Because it's only the good things that go into the book of life. Because we all stand before the judge, every one of us. And we're accountable for what we sow. And I've got a few things here that I just want you to listen to. So, sowing and reaping are both positive and negative. We know that. If you sow good things, you will reap good things. If you sow honesty, you will reap trust. If you sow goodness, you will reap friends. That's good, isn't it? If you sow humility, you will reap greatness. If you sow perseverance, you will reap victory. If you sow consideration, you will reap harmony. If you sow hard work, you will reap success. If you sow forgiveness, you will reap reconciliation. If you sow openness, you will reap intimacy. If you sow patience, that's one of my hard ones, but I'm trying to sow patience, you will reap improvements. If you sow faith, you will reap miracles. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. On the other hand, do you want to hear about sowing bad things? If you sow dishonesty, you will reap distrust. If you sow selfishness, you will reap loneliness. If you sow pride, you will reap destruction. If you sow jealousy, you will reap trouble. If you sow laziness, you will reap stagnation. If you sow bitterness, you will reap isolation. If you sow greed, you will reap loss. If you sow gossip, you will reap enemies. I love this one. If you sow worries, you will reap wrinkles. You gotta say that? No more worries. Say no more worries. I'm not gonna sow worries anymore. So if you see somebody 90 that looks no wrinkles, you just think she's had no worries. If you sow sin, you will reap guilt. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. Now, I was talking to my sister yesterday, I wasn't going to say my sister. Anyway. Sister-in-law. Haven't got one. can't forbid it. But as I was talking to my sister yesterday, and I've only got one left, that's tough. She really does not like her daughter-in-law. And she's got every good reason not to like her. But she was saying yesterday, I've sent a card to my son, and I have not mentioned my sister, my daughter-in-law. Now, what is that sowing? It's division, it's causing bitterness, it's no reconciliation, no love. Tup says, why do you always go first and say sorry? And I said, because I want to clear the air. Even if I'm not wrong, I want to feel love. I want to feel. My son gave me a hard time on the way back from when my sister passed away, and he really yelled at me, and I had tears running down my face. And I'm thinking, I'm not talking to that son again. You know, it was like, I've loved this boy, and he's treated me like that. And anyway, he rang me, and straight away he went right back and hit me. And I said, oh, someone's just come to the door, and that's true. And I said, I'll ring you. But God said, just text him, take the blame. So I just said, Andrew, I'm so sorry that I didn't, how did I put it, that I reacted in the wrong way. And I love you dearly. Can we put this all behind us? And yet I was still hurting, but I took the blame of the whole thing. I know that you don't have to all the time, but I just knew that was the only way to bring restoration. I wanted to sow love to my son. I wanted to forgive him. I wanted to bring the restoration that I'd have my son back. That would, you know, I'd have hugs and loves and everything. But I could have sown discord even more, saying, I'm not talking to you, I'm just not having a part of you. You've really hurt me. And that was my reaction. I was hurting. I just lost my sister, and I'm thinking, why can't he be loving to his mother instead of attacking me? But it was like God said, sow love, sow love, sow love. And you will reap the reward, because Andrew has been an amazing son, but he's just so busy, and we'd lost his sister and his auntie, and all emotions were up in the air, and it was like, let's bring restoration here. And that's what happened. So instead of sowing love and restoration, instead of like Tup is sowing hatred and discord. She's absolutely, you can imagine when the card gets to Australia, this is my sister, the card gets to Australia and is just written out to the son, what will that do to those two? And because I said to her, I would actually forget what's in the past. How can you? I don't understand you. But what you sow, you know, causes. And that will happen till the day she dies. There'll be no reconciliation. There'll be just, you know, and Hamish will be walking on eggshells between mother and wife. We've got to sow, even if we get hurt and things have been said against us. Truly, it is good to forgive, not have bitter, and sow love. And reconciliation. Sometimes it hurts so much, but I tell you, it always works. You know, I think of the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal fed his flesh, didn't he? He took all his father's money. He was selfish. He had selfish desires. He was going to get into the world. He was going to flirt with woman, have sex with woman, use up all the money and just have party, party, party. That was the prodigal son. And yet, what did his father do? And he was ended up, we all know the story, don't we? He ended up with the pigs, eating pigs' food. And he thought, I have to go back to my father. Even if I'm a servant, I have to go back because I can't. I've run out of everything. I don't know what to do. And then in Luke 15, I just love this. And this is the father heart. Luke 15, 20 to 22. And the prodigal, he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But what did the father say? But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. Put it on. I've got the anointing all over me. Whoa. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. That was a father that was so loving. You know, he went through heartache. He went through sleepless nights. And I think this is, we can all relate to this, that have got children that have, you know, gone through teenagers, mine are older, but we can all remember those days. But the father, he was looking for him every day. And he saw him from a distance. There's my son. And he was robed in the best clothes. Put a ring on his finger to say, you belong to this family, son. And the father sowed so much compassion and so much love. And I just feel there's a prophetic word here, because I just know that many of us have got sons and daughters that are prodigals. But the father said to me last night when I was doing this message, he said, he is well pleased with us. Because we have sowed the word of God in our children. We have loved them regardless. We have still praying for them, even though they've walked right away from God. God said they are coming back because the word of God is in them. And never give up. And he said they're coming back and you wait for them. Every one of them is coming back. God told me to say that to you today, that they're coming back and you watch out for them and you love on them and you bring them to your chest and you don't judge anything that they've done, but you just sow the righteousness of God. But they are coming back. And I believe, yes, let's give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing our children back. I tell you, on Wednesday, we got that basket and we wrote scriptures in with the praying for them. And we declared the scriptures over those prodigals in that basket. If you need to put a name in that basket, we pray for it every Wednesday for ones that don't know Jesus or are prodigals or coming back. But we just know there's going to be such an influx where God is going to answer our prayers. We weep over their names. We just say, God, bring them back. You know, every one of them has got a destiny in Jesus. You know, I'm saying, God, mine are in there. They're 48. What are they, 44, 46, 48? And I'm going, get them now, God. You know, and Tim puts on Facebook, playing at a pub. And I'm going, oh, God, I visualize them playing up here and singing for you, Jesus. It's like God is going to bring them back. And he said that to me so clearly. They're coming back. They're coming back. They're coming back. We have sowed the truth into them. I have prayed for my children. I've led them into the things of the Spirit. They used to pray. They used to worship. They used to intercede. They used to preach. They used to do so much for Jesus. But that hasn't been lost. Because God said, all of them, what you have sown, teach a child in the way they shall go, and they will come back. And I just hope, just get hope in your hearts. And you ones that have got husbands, we prayed for them on Wednesday. There's so many in this church with husbands that aren't walking with the Lord, and they're so stubborn. They're coming in. They're coming in. And I know some of you have got wives that aren't walking with God. God's bringing them back too, in Jesus' name. Whoa, so what we sow. And I always think this story tells of Daddy God's love. You know, a lot of us, you know, the Father loves us as the Father brought the prodigal. That's what he does, you know. Though many people don't have a father around. I never knew who my father was. And I remember when I was at intermediate and someone said, who's your father? And I burst into tears and I said, I really don't know. And a lot of people don't know their father. But, you know, Father God met with me and he loved on me. And he's the most... If you want to really get healed, listen to the Father's love letter. You can just get that up on your iTube and listen to it. I did last night. And it's just scriptures, but it's the Father's love. And the Father sows into me the goodness of him. And that's what I want to sow, is the goodness into people. I want my actions to be that it's sowing heavenly things in everything that I do. You know, as soon as we gossip, we bring enemies. As soon as we do anything that's not of God, and so if you're sowing into pornography, you reap. My first husband was totally into pornography. It took him over completely. He got into so much sexual sin. I didn't realize, but he was committing adultery just about every week. We were in Christian work, but he got into pornography. He was sowing that into his mind, into his heart, and into his soul. And it was destroying the family, destroying me. It was like, why won't he love me? What else can I do? I used to make him the best cakes. I used to do everything. I was sowing into his life, but he was sowing pornography. And he ended up in Thailand with these prostitutes. And he sold them all around the earth, all around the world. He got more and more. He sowed, and the flesh took over. And these little ones, he brought one to New Zealand to sell, and he got caught by the police. Praise God. This is my children's father. But I have sown into my children goodness, and the deviousness of him is not in their lives. But it's like what we sow into our lives, that is what we reap. And it's so serious, because God is saying he wants us to have pure hearts, to sow goodness wherever we go. You know, I always think, what would I like on my tombstone? I'm not dying. But what would you like written? Good and faithful servant. I'd like one that loved much. One that loved much. Because when we get to heaven, that's the first thing Jesus is going to say. Did you love much? It is love is the key, the pure love of Jesus. We've got Jesus in him. I loved just calling out his name this morning. It was just wonderful, just calling it out. And some of you might think, when are they going to get on to the next line? But I was saying, God, Jesus, 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 you're my everything. You've changed my life. You've healed my body. You've done so much. You've provided. You've provided, God provides with Clive and I because we so much into the kingdom. We so finances into the kingdom. God blesses. He blesses in whatever you do that is of goodness. Whatever he tells you to do, and it's a word from God, do it. Sow the scriptures into people's lives. You know, I'm saying, you know, I've been feeling a bit tired, and I've just been quoting, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I just keep going, the joy of the Lord is my strength, the joy of the Lord. And I'm sowing joy. I mean, sometimes it's at the prayer meeting and it seeps out and it's perturbing, but it's good. You know, this rascally joy of the Lord just bubbles up. I'm just saying, God, sow joy into me that I may be strengthened, because that's what the word of God says. Sow joy. Sow goodness. Sow encouraging. Whoa. Sow into people's lives. I love it when we can do that. Oh, and give Father God permission to love on you. Some of you need a whole lot of loving from Father. And I just want you to say after me, Daddy God, I give you permission to love on me. You say it again, Daddy God, I give you permission to love on me. He will come and love and love and love and love and love some more. When I was in burnout, I was totally miserable. I was just in a bad way. But that's, someone said to me, just tell Daddy God to love on you. And that was the start of my healing, because Father God came and he loved and he loved and he loved on me. He's such an amazing Father. Oh, thank you, God. So we need to choose to sow goodness in all the ways. Paul writes, do not grow weary while doing good, for in the due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And I've got so good things, so honesty. Don't lie. If you lie, you know, sometimes I can get quite sarcastic at times, and I'm learning, Anna Clive, it's not sowing goodness. This late, we were in a shop yesterday. I have to be honest. I was just annoyed with Clive because he was choosing the wrong colours and everything. Anyway, I was... We got it right in the end, Clive, didn't we? But anyway, I was being quite sarcastic. But this girl took it that I was being quite loving. And I said to Clive, got out of that one, didn't I? But I had to say sorry to Clive, because it was, you know, and so the things, because, you know, like that, my mother was the most sarcastic person that you could ever meet. So some of it rubbed on me. But God doesn't love sarcasm. And I don't want to sow that. And I said, sorry, Clive. Didn't I, Clive? Oh, it's good this morning. Well, we were going to a wedding, and I said, right, we've got to go. You know, girl, got to get dressed up. But he wanted to go to Rod and Guns, and it was like, Anyway, we got over that. I had to have patience. I had to sow patience. Because Clive had his heart on this shirt and Rod and Gun. So, you know, patience had to be the thing that I sewed, and I thought I did very, very well. I didn't huff and puff. But you know how you can bring discord into an atmosphere? And I was going to huff and puff. I'm going, no. And I hadn't got my message. If I'd got my message, I wouldn't have even thought of huffing and puffing. But it was like, you know how you can bring into an atmosphere and bring discord, and then you have an argument on the way home? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It really isn't worth it. Just agree. Yes, I'd love to go to Rod and Guns. Yes, I'd love to sit down and watch. I didn't. But anyway, what have I got here? So good things, so honesty, so humility, perseverance, kindness, holiness, purity. You know, I just, when you in a situation where people are gossiping or they're swearing, just walk out. Can you do that? Just say, this is not my kind of talk. Because we've got to show holiness and purity, don't we? So show faith, patience. Sow in the Spirit, reap life everlasting. Because as I said in James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So we should be out of our mouth blessing, 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 blessing. Hallelujah.